Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the
bang. What is up, everybody? Bang. Corey Vincent here, Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one geek and gaming podcast, as told by the people in Not Forbes magazine. Joining me, the man to my left. Love having him on the show. He's been back from exile, but he's here with us drinking some fresh cold water because I remember to put him in the refrigerator this time. Curtis Skipintosh Fisher, what's up, man?
Bang bang, you in the video game gang. This Kirkland?
Kirkland classic, man.
Classic.
Yeah.
This is like the Fountain of Youth in a plastic bottle.
I only buy water. I drink from the tap.
Okay.
But I don't want to subject other people to that. So Kirkland, I make a special trip to the very back of the store.
Okay.
That's where I get water.
Right.
And I buy it just for you fine people who help me out on the show.
You are a lovely, lovely soul. Thank you for having me.
We have some amazing guests joining us. We have a pair of guests. You know, if you've been listening the last month and a half, it's been a lot of local focus. We're at the State Fair a lot. We've had some local game developers. We got a lot going on, but we wanted to keep the train rolling, and we invited a couple friends to join us. They are from a local chair company, gaming chair company, called Taboo Ohana. Welcome to the show, Young and Nalesh. What's going on, guys?
What's up, Taboo Ohana?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having us on here.
Thanks for coming. Yeah. We hung out at the State Fair. You guys were awesome. You guys had some chairs on display. And you guys have taken an interest in the local gaming area. And, you know, it felt right to have you guys on the show. So thanks for joining.
That's right. We're looking forward to doing a lot more up here in the NorCal area.
So, yeah, well, let's start at the easiest part because let's just dig right in. Why gaming chairs? It seems like there's so many and they're all the same. What makes you guys different?
Well, let's just put it this way. There are more chairs than there are asses. Let's be real. So, chances are, in your house right now, you got a whole lot more chairs than our asses to sit on it.
Yeah.
So, true. Apparently, there's a lot of opportunities. Right?
Yeah.
But the gaming chairs is not it. And that's just an entry point for us. There are other products that we're releasing that's going to improve the gaming experience, improving your ergonomic, your sitting, your ability to play better. As we would joke around and say, we'll improve your FPS.
I like your guys' style, man. You guys come strong. Like, the one thing, the biggest critique I always hear about the gaming chairs, and I tend to agree, is like the bold, loud, racing colors of it. You know, they're all just kind of ugly. And I walked over to your guys' booth, and I was like, where's all the colors? You guys were like, we don't do colors.
Oh, we do now.
Some colors?
Oh, no.
Okay.
You can have any color you want as long as it's black.
That's right. Now, there's another thing that separates you guys, though, from some of the other chair companies. And it's the way that you give back, because not only do you give back to the local community, but you guys give back beyond that as well. Can you tell me a little bit about that angle of Taboo Ohana?
Right. And so, Nalesh and I, you know, and our other business partner, Nick, we're all immigrants.
Oh,
now,
nice.
The storyline goes as far as this. Nick and I, we came by way of boat to the United States. So we escaped communist Vietnam. I came here in 1979. And then, of course, we got Nalesh here, who also, his family migrated here, you know, from Fiji.
That's the American dream right there.
Oh, yeah. It's the American dream. And now that we've reached our apex of our life, it's time to give back. Now, here's the beautiful thing. We're starting off with orphans. We're taking on the task of, and we're, with all the prayers and blessing and hope and, you know, we want to give back to these kids because
absolutely.
bottom of the day is all they want is a chance.
That's
and
right.
To be loved.
Yep.
Right.
You know,
when they're loved and they're given an opportunity, then anything is possible.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything.
It's a little bit of being dreamers, right? We talk about kids who need a chance. And so give them an opportunity. So we came to this country and we saw an opportunity. We were given a chance at opportunity. Not everyone gets that.
That's right. That's right.
And so we're at a point in our lives where, okay, you know, we've had some careers, we've owned some businesses, we've done some things.
Right.
And the chair and the lifestyle brand of Tabu Ohana is a vehicle to get there.
Absolutely.
And so we're in business not to make money for ourselves.
Right.
We're in business that people in the future, kids in the future, can have a better life. That's really what we're after. And so for the orphans, because Nick and Young came from Vietnam, we started in Vietnam.
Okay.
In countries, particularly in Southeast Asia, there isn't an opportunity for people to get support.
Right, right, right.
So we teamed up with a group of Vietnam veterans. So these were guys who were actually in Vietnam during the war.
Wow.
And there's 850 kids at the orphanage that we help support.
Jeez. Wow, my goodness.
So that's a lot. That's behind the scenes what we do.
Absolutely.
So out front, we've got the brand and the chair company. There's other products coming along with the chair company. But yeah, we figured, you know, if we ground ourselves in giving back.
Right.
Right. Then the rest of it'll take care of itself.
I feel like that's any brand or business or anybody who takes themselves seriously as anything has to have that foundation of what they kind of stand for that's bigger than themselves.
Absolutely.
Right. Because then at the end of the day, and that can be driven by your own power and money. Like, you know, some people are motivated by themselves being superior rich, you know?
Yeah, some people are.
That's
some
a motivation. But whatever it is, if you could, you know, put your head on the pillow and sleep at night and know that, you know, that's what you're working for, it gives you direction.
Definitely.
Otherwise, what's it all for?
That's right.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, you're right about that. Because, you know, it's interesting you say supremely rich. I mean, in a consumer products business, you have an opportunity to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But where we're headed in life is we're not looking to make a lot of money. Because what we want to do doesn't cost a lot. Literally, what we want to do is sit on the beach and listen to the oceans.
can you count me in? I'm from Monterey.
Real,
you
man.
See?
Yeah.
Can you
see
count
that?
Me in?
Right? Right.
For real. So you don't need a lot of money to do that, right?
That's right.
And so we figure if we have enough money to have a roof over our heads and have some food to eat,
right?
The rest is bonus, right? So why don't we share that with others?
I love that.
So that's what we do.
So I love that.
What brought you into the gaming chair? You guys have experience in furniture and chairs before the gaming chairs?
Actually, yeah. Designing gaming furniture. Not even just gaming furniture, just furniture.
Okay.
Office furniture, just your ergonomic sit-stand desk. Okay. Your office chairs, your typical anything that you find chairs-wise, office-wise, from metal chairs to task chairs to ergonomic chairs, that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why we got into we didn't even know why we got into gaming. We didn't have a purpose, by the way. We didn't intend it to.
All right, let's share our business plan when we started, just before you get into story.
Mm-hmm.
Literally our business plan. So okay. I come from a corporate background originally, you know, advertising, marketing, which is why we're a good team.
Right.
Because we have different skills. Nick has skills. Young has skills. We sat down. This is what, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We said, "Hey, we've known each other since high school." So
awesome.
That's our team.
Okay.
So we're
some history there.
There's history. There's a close knit family. Mm-hmm. We know we can work together because we know your parents.
Right. Exactly.
So
basically, I can check you if I need to.
You start slipping, I'm going to your mom's house.
That's what I'm talking about.
So literally, we put together a business plan that said this: we want a business plan that allows us to. One, and this is, I'm speaking from the business side because I run a lot of the business.
Right.
We don't have to have employees, but we can bring people in to work with them.
Right.
We don't want to have overhead.
Right.
And we want the freedom to be able to work anywhere there's an internet connection. So we said, okay, if we can build a business on those three principles, you got to be successful. And so then Young at the time was in the furniture business.
Okay.
And so that's where we got started in the gaming chair. So he'll tell you the rest of the story, how we got there.
Oh, man. I was at a trade show. I had a 10x10 booth. I used to design a sit-stand desk. Those, you know, ergonomic desks.
Yeah, absolutely. I got one of those.
The microphone is like a little less. Yeah, you got to get right on
all
that
right,
bad
no
board.
Worries.
I want to hear every word of this.
No worries. And so I was. That's what I was doing, designing a sit-stand desk.
Okay.
You know, 10x10 booth, real small in Vegas.
Right.
This cat right next to me from China, you know, he has this 2,500 square foot, you know, just full of chairs.
Okay.
Chairs. I'm like, dang, this guy got chairs.
Have you ever looked at a dude and been like, damn, he got chairs?
Yeah,
got
right?
Chairs.
It's one dude.
He is rich in chairs.
He got all chairs.
If chairs were money,
yeah,
it would be.
He got both.
Right? Yeah.
But what threw him off, and he, you know, I caught his attention was I'm sitting here with a 10x10 booth, Amazon and the like of Amazon, House, eBay, all those guys were coming my way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wondering, you got just a desk.
right.
You just got a desk, and I got chairs. And he has a lot of chairs.
Right.
Different was, I was standing on my desk and literally hitting the remote, forcing the desk to go up and down.
Right.
I'm surfing my desk. Yeah, literally surfing my desk.
Back to sitting on the beach watching the ocean.
Exactly. It all comes back to the beach.
I just didn't care. I was like, it's not the traditional way of doing business, right?
Right.
And so he started asking me, say, hey, you got time? Let's go have dinner. Sure. All right. I thought he was hitting on me. I was trying to.
All right, dude.
So yeah, went to dinner. You know, started talking. He said, "Hey, I need a person like you on my team." And I'm like, "No, you don't want. I don't want to work for you. You don't want me to work for you. Either.
Right?
I promise you."
Yeah, we'll tell you a story about how he got himself fired too a little bit later.
Okay. That's for the after.
That's
show.
He called me one day. I think I got fired. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did."
Yeah, that's how it started. Actually, I got fired. And then I called Nalesh and said, you know what? I got fired from this furniture company, which I was helped sell and designing the product.
Wow.
And it was funny. It was on a Wednesday, and I was sitting at a coffee shop like I usually do and do my work. Right. And I sold like more desks than the company have ever had.
Oh, wow.
4 containers worth. Instead of being,
on the day you got fired?
On the day I got fired.
Oh.
This is crazy.
It's how he got fired.
He called me up. He said, hey, I thought, all right, we're going to have a nice conversation, talk about, the deal of the day.
Right.
I'm telling him, hey, I just sold, hundreds of desks. I'm thinking a steak dinner.
Right.
I'm thinking I'm going to get a steak dinner, right?
Right.
Old boy started telling me, like, hey, you could have done this, you should have done that, you should have sold more. I'm like, okay, maybe I don't understand the business. Right. Maybe you should teach me how to sell more. Right.
Yeah,
maybe I don't get it.
You're playing a dangerous game at this point.
No, I guess. I like fire.
There we go.
Well, you got to say, I've known him since, how old were we, 14?
14.
He's not good at working for people.
So that's why he works for himself now.
Par for the course.
Yeah,
man. Really tough. So then the cat, kept on, pushing me. Then I had a very, a lot of poor choice, little words.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I gave it all to him,
A lot of four-letter words.
And I'm that type of guy. It's like, if you're going to start talking that smack, I'm going to buy a ticket and go to New York and I'll whoop your ass.
Right on.
I was ready to. I was like, are you for real?
Yeah.
And he fired me, right? I'm like, I got fired. But here's the funny thing. I wasn't mad. I was relieved.
I've had that feeling, dude. Sometimes getting fired is the best feeling.
I was relieved. I was like, I called Nalesha up. I'm like, hey. I think I got fired.
He tells me the story, and I said, yeah, you got fired, man. You got fired. But that's what kicked off this company, him getting fired. Okay, so here's another part, because I worked in corporate world, and my job left the state.
Okay.
So he and I, prior to that, were like, we got to do something together. We're a couple of smart guys.
Right.
He gets fired. My job, he's like, this is it. Best thing that ever happened to us.
Oh, man, how amazing.
So why gaming chairs?
Gaming chairs. Well, went to a couple of esports.
You went to E3.
Yeah, I went to E3.
Okay.
Now, I saw a bunch of people.
Start a little bit before that, because why would you guys end up at those events? Are you just gaming and interested? Yeah. Or what?
Not at all. I was curious. I was curious about that world. I'm like, you know what? Let me check. I wasn't happy with the chairs that I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what came to gaming chairs. We were having this conversation, and he tells me, well, it was with the guy who had this chair factory.
Okay.
He wasn't building gaming chairs yet. He was totally in the office.
Okay.
Furniture line.
Okay.
And it was Jung who convinced him, hey, we need to get into this space.
Right.
And so he went, and we started checking out what's out there, and we said, wow, and we're old. Well, I'll say we're old school gamers. Like, we came up in the Atari world, right?
Yeah.
So we still.
That Pong.
He's 1985 Pong champion of the world.
Hey, 85 is right.
Until somebody proves it wrong.
Right.
But in any case.
I love the way you guys think.
Yeah. We started sitting in chairs, literally. Because we're like, hey, Young knows a guy who builds chairs.
Right.
Let's sit in chairs. And we were already researching and looking at esports prior to that.
Okay.
We knew that it was going to be a really great industry to be a part of.
Right.
We played games when we were younger.
Right.
My sister's a medical professional. She plays. So we started talking. Like, a lot of people are playing games.
Right.
So this is something we should be a part of. And literally came down to sitting in chairs and going, man, these are uncomfortable. That's really what it came down to.
That's the thing. Like, that's why when you see a chair company and I walk over to your booth, it's hard to tell the ones that are woke. That know that they're actually like mostly trash.
Yeah.
They don't have like, you can go get a ergonomic chair that your company makes you sit in and probably be doing your body more benefits than these bright orange right. and pink chairs right. that are, you know, aren't really that great for you.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. And so it came down to just, we started with one thing, which is comfort.
Okay.
Whatever we build needs to be comfortable. Straight up. We really went towards, well, let's be in the professional realm. If you've got somebody right. whose full-time mm-hmm. gig is to sit in that chair for 8 hours,
right.
can they sit in that chair for 8 hours? And that's right. what we built towards. So our style was Perfect. Comfort. Then we went for quality. Then we went for style. A lot of companies go the other way around, which right. is style.
Style first, yeah.
And then maybe quality.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. maybe then,
but yeah, there is a chair for everybody. And so we really focused on how comfortable can we make it. And then when we went into designing, because we designed the chair we actually designed
okay.
because we wanted a particular style and right. comfort to it. And we said, all right, if we could design it with as much comfort as we possibly could at a reasonable price point,
right.
let's just do that. So that's got us in the chairs. So Young meeting the guy who we work with now.
Right.
Right. He built them.
So when you guys walked in, it was your first time being in the studio, you know, and you guys were like, oh, man, this is awesome. But the first thing you both did was walk over to that chair and you started bending it and you started poking it. Because I have a DX Racer in here that my wife bought me a few years ago. And, it was a chair. I love the, you know, my wife did that for me because she knew. I wanted a cooler chair for the stream and stuff, so she got it for me.
Yeah.
And you guys were over there folding it and poking it. What did you guys observe? What were you guys looking for when you're poking it around and looking and checking stuff?
You have to always try to figure out your competitors, right?
Straight up.
You realize that's a 500-pound gorilla right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you always prepare for a fight.
Got to size it up.
Your fight, mm-hmm. right?
That's so right.
That's what we do. That's what we always do. We go to any chairs. We study it. We study our opponent. We study our competitor. And then from there, we go back to the lab and say, hey, let's make it better.
That's right.
So for people Love who it. Are listening to this and they see, oh, like gaming chair, that's something I've always wanted. I got it on my Amazon wish list. What should people actually be looking for when they're going for these chairs? Because in a lot of cases, like when I picked DX Racer, I literally picked it because that's the one that had the most name recognition. That's right. And I'm not smart in furniture. So I'm just like, hey, if it's the biggest name, it's probably got to be pretty good quality. And so I just went for it blind. But if someone else is thinking about this, what would you tell them to look at?
First and foremost, size.
Size does matter.
Size does matter.
Size does matter.
Yes, it does.
That's right.
Because first and foremost, when I say size, because there are, you know, people who are petite, medium, right. or large.
Right.
So you have to find a chair that gonna actually fits you. Mm-hmm. So not all chairs are made equally to fit you.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it's not like a unisex or a uni chair. And so look for size first and foremost. And then what would you say second?
Well, I'd say, yeah, look for size. I mean, we have three sizes, which is cool. So, and then I would say look for the build quality next.
Okay, that's right.
And you know, it's oftentimes with any product, it's like, you know, why does this cost this and that cost that?
Right.
Well, there is a difference.
Definitely.
So build quality. It's like, are they made of tubular steel frame? That's an important thing. The right. reason is because some of the products will be made with wooden frames.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so tubular steel give you a little more sturdy.
Right.
You keep it longer. Mm-hmm. And then it really comes down to thickness of the foam.
Okay.
How much foam are they going to put in that chair?
Right.
Especially, for example, if you got these side bolsters, mm-hmm. you should not be able to squeeze and feel the frame. That's one thing you want to know. We were just chatting a little bit earlier. Oftentimes... it's an issue of shipping product from overseas to here.
Okay.
There's a weight consideration.
Right.
The more you put into a product, the more it's going to cost you to ship.
That's right.
So we bit the bullet and said, we're going to put as much into the product as we can
okay.
and just deal with the shipping.
Okay.
So when companies are shipping,
yeah.
And everyone's got a business model they got to work towards. When companies are shipping like lots and lots of units, they consider that. And so they'll cut back on the foam. So it's size, what's it made of,
okay.
and then literally how thick is that foam. Because the thicker that foam is, the longer you're going to be able to sit in that chair.
Very good point. And it's interesting, like, you know, I can't say just recently, but same kind of about within the last 2 years, purchased a chair.
Yeah.
I come from a bit of a furniture background, if you want to call IKEA.
Okay. Yeah.
If you want to call it furniture.
Hey, that's one of the biggest furniture companies in the world. So you go.
This is very true. Yeah. And it gave me a love of Sweden, but we'll talk about that later.
All right.
You know, I came from working and say, okay, I'm going to buy like the top chair at IKEA because I can get the discount. And then I say, okay, well, I sat in a few of them and this one's pretty popular and pretty comfortable. And then I came around to a chair company that starts with a V. Because okay. we'll keep those other companies' names to a minimum because okay. we got the masters here, so
fair enough.
Everybody else is second best. And that one, I was like, okay, I see the quality and I see some different things, but one of the main things, I'm kind of a bigger guy, it was like, I can't sit in this too long. Right. Like, I already got scoliosis, and now the weight and the thickness of the foam factored in. So it's, but one of the things that I noticed about you guys' chairs, and it's kind of sly, it's very much a gamer chair. Mm-hmm. But you guys have some chairs that you can slip into that office space.
That's right.
So for the people that are the undercover gamers, these gamers that, you know, are executives,
right?
That's right.
They can slip that gaming chair right into the office and not miss a beat.
Without a doubt. I mean, one of our first customers is actually a dentist.
Oh, there you go. No way.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
That makes sense with the logo, too, because if you look at the logo, it's a big Maori warrior with his mouth open.
Open wide, like the picture on the stick.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why his mouth is open. Yeah. He's about to get drilled.
And so it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, we've got, you know, gamers who've purchased the chairs, but we also have professionals who are interested in the chair.
Right.
People who tend to sit for long periods of time.
Right.
Another one of our first customers was a finance professional.
Ah,
right. So okay. You're very much the benefit for that was the reason we were able to do that is because who we work with on our factory.
Right.
And our factory was very, very skilled in building chairs
for
high-end clients who need office chairs.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we were able to work from that point forward and said, okay, let's take the highest quality we can build and give it the style it needs to have to be a real gaming chair.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for noticing that, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So tell me about the logo, because we talked about it for a minute, and it's very unique. It stands out. You were giving away stickers at the event.
Oh, yeah.
Me, Curtis. Everybody who got one has it on their hydro flask right now.
That's right.
Because it's just badass. Like, you don't need to know what it is. You can just, and someone asks, what's Taibu Ohana? You tell them, but, like, it's very bold. It's an arrowhead. And then it has a Maori warrior, very fierce looking, in like a black and gray gradient style. It's beautiful. What made that the logo say gaming chair?
When we say welcome to the family, the Taibu Ohana. Taibu means sacred. Mm-hmm. Ohana's family. That's the first and foremost. You're part of the sacred family now.
Yeah.
You don't have to be part of, you know, we don't need to be born with the same blood.
Right.
We're still family.
We're all one.
Yeah,
they're just saying everyone on the island is family.
We're family. Hey. So once you're part of the family, you know what's up. Mm-hmm. We take care of ours. And so the reason why it's called Taibu Ohana is just that. It's trying to get that community together. The gaming community is a family. Anybody in the family understand.
Right.
You're in the family. Now, don't go against the family. Just like the Godfather.
That's right.
Not go against the family. Yeah. Rule number one.
You're right.
Never go against the family, Fredo.
Sangre por sangre.
Yes.
There we go.
The arrowhead represent hunters versus gatherer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There are those in life who would wish to wait, you know, for the fruit to bear and then sit and enjoy it.
Right.
And they're a hunter. Hunters are people who want things in life. Yep. You want to be the best, you go and get it.
That's right.
You want that deer, you go and get it. You hunt it.
Yeah. Hunters. Hunters are the DPS, right. The gatherers are the support players.
There you go.
There it is.
Yeah, we align very much with the hunters. And then that's why it's that shape.
That's right. And then in the letter T, if you see the letter T in Taibu, is actually the fish hook. Mm-hmm. The fish hook represent, you know, life. Without the fish hook, you can't go fishing. Once again, we say this, you know, you either give a man a fish or you give him a fishing pole. You teach him how to fish.
So what about teaching them to fish?
And my last name is Fisher.
There it is.
So I'm in the sacred family. Just like that.
Just like that. You were born into it.
That's right. Molded by it. I love it, man. I love it.
The Maori war, the reason why the Maori war with his tongue sticking out, prior every war, or as you would see most recently now, mostly football or rugby, there's a chant, a haka. A haka, the feet in the chest, slapping the thigh.
Yep.
All of that is scaring off the enemy, scaring off the evil, warding off anything that's evil, all the negative. Right?
Yep.
Sometimes you can win a war without even having to fight a war.
Right. Yeah, right.
So in life, sometimes, you know, how can I say, if you want something, you have to speak loud.
Yeah. Sir.
You have to be bold about it. You can't just be meek.
Right.
An open mouth is a fed mouth. A closed mouth is not one that's going to get fed.
So what's crazy about this, is which cool and eye-opening, is that, I mean, I've had the pleasure of being in esports for a while and seeing a lot of meeting a lot of people who work and seeing how the companies are developed, and some are huge and some are small, but in most of them, I gotta say, like, at the end of the day, esports is a competition and you're in it to win. Like,
that's right.
And if you're a competitive gamer, the point of it is competition, so you have that drive to be the best, and it is a very much a warrior mentality. But a lot of these companies don't really reflect that. Like, no. If you look at DX Racer, for example, because it's right there, like when you look at that logo and you look at the branding and the color, like you don't know what it is. It doesn't really say competition. It says like it wants to be a racing chair.
Right.
But when you have like this strong warrior as, you know, the logo, and it's intimidating. Like if I roll up at the esports competition and I'm going 1v1 and I see a dude with that on his chair, I might be a little more intimidated.
Right. Man, I'm saying. And that's the thing. And that's part of what I love so much about the logo and just the vibe, especially talking to Young and Nalesh Moore. Like, that's my mentality. When I go in, I want to beat you in your mind. You know, like, I'm thinking like Michael Jordan, like MJ. I want to beat you in your head before I even beat you on the court. Because if I can get a leg up, if I can get into your head, if I can get some real estate.
All right.
If I can sit on the beach in your head, I'm going to sit on the beach in real life.
Right.
So I dig it, man. I love it.
I think what's sick is, like, you look at like some of these other companies for gaming peripherals, for example, and you look at a logo like Logitech, you know, their logo is just a G.
Right.
But Corsair, they're the pirate mask. You know, they're the pirate salesman because that's the, the mentality of competition and being dirty and getting in there and getting the dub.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool that you guys' foundation is rooted in competition and that very aggressive style of competition.
And remember, the other thing about competition, and this is what I love about it, because, you know, aggression is kind of being looked at very negatively these days. Yeah. You know, the results of aggression can vary, and that's more so where we need to judge it. But being aggressive alone shouldn't be, because that's what also in competition drives progress and progression. So, you know, the tech companies, it's healthy with them because they want to come up with the next feature or the next phone or the next software. You know what I mean? And in other businesses, we have a big opportunity to have that same spirit, because that's what's going to drive the best performance out of you. Me and you going at Smash, if you don't hold back, you know, or even Dragon Ball Z, don't hold back.
Because
they know that if you give me your best, I'll respond with mine, and then we'll both get better.
You will find out what you're made of.
Exactly.
And all boats will rise, right?
All boats will rise on that rising tide.
That's right. And yes, competition is a good thing.
Absolutely.
As long as at the end of the competition you say good game to each other.
GGs.
That's all you have to do. GG at the end.
That's right.
And so, and then if it's 1v1, I get that's GG, but competition is also about the community, the people who are on your team.
Yep. The sacred family.
This is the sacred family. You gotta have each other's back on that team, right?
Straight up.
So that's important. And that's one of the reasons this logo is so large on the back of our chair.
Yeah.
Because when you're in that competition, you're in that competitive mode,
right,
you're letting people know, hey, look, I got my game face on.
Face.
I'm warrior mode right now.
Yep, that's right.
So if you're going to come at me, you better bring your game.
You better bring. And a logo with such a big message should be big.
Yes,
so it makes sense.
Yeah, that's why we made it really big. Yeah.
So what's the strat, man? So you're entering a hyper-competitive field because it's, you know, one that's growing fast, and it's one that's already kind of well-established. So you guys have been putting a lot of attention and detail and love into the local scene, which means a lot for people like us, who's like an independent podcast, because, you know, we've been doing this thing forever just by word of mouth and going out to the grassroots and people. So when we started our show, it was like, how do we expect people in Japan to listen to this podcast if people in our own backyard won't?
Right.
And so we started marketing to local, going to events, making our, you know, shaking hands, giving back when we could.
Yep.
And, you know, that was our strat. But chairs, it feels like a little bit different, because I don't know how many of these you got to push, but you got to think to support yourselves. You got to sell a lot of chairs, and you got DX Racer, who's, you know, on PewDiePie or whoever, you know, they're doing this big influencer marketing. So how do you guys, who know you have a better product, you know you have a badass logo, how do you share that with the world? How do you turn this into a big business?
Now, here's a simple, real simple, at the end of the day, a chair is just a chair, right? We got other stuff coming. Stand by.
Yeah, stand
like
by,
I said, when we put our warrior face, we're not just playing.
We'll
play to keep. We're looking to win.
Yeah.
That's a strategy. We like to keep things simple, right? And that's our approach.
Right.
You know, we have our staff meetings usually in the evenings with some beer. we got our staff meetings together. We like to keep this simple. And so you touched upon it. I mean, you said, you know, we start local. We want, if we could get, you know, all the people who are into competition of some sort, game, you know, or if you're a professional, in just our local area to buy the chairs, we're happy. We're good, right? And so we start with a simple attitude of, it's just really, just be nice.
Yep.
That's it. Just be nice to people. Tell them what they're going to get.
Yep.
And just grow it from there. And so we truly believe in word of mouth. Mm-hmm. That our approach is, we could put a lot of money into advertising and promotion.
Yeah.
But then what we're not doing is putting those dollars into development and the people who are in the family, like helping them.
Right.
Right. And so what we often do is just make sure we support local local gamers, local streamers.
Yep.
And then get them to like the product. We want people to buy the product because they like the product.
Yep.
As opposed to buy the product because we had the biggest booth at the show.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. And so we're a very much win-win. If we get more out of it than you get out of it, then we don't feel good.
Right. 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 Right.
We don't feel good about that.
Right.
If you get more out of it than we get out of it, yeah, we probably feel okay. But, you know,
yeah.
But our attitude is we shouldn't get more out of the deal. And I mean, you just, if I simplify it, you're just buying a chair on our website.
Right.
But if we end up getting way more out of that,
yeah.
It's not a good feeling.
Right.
And so we're not going to build a business that works that way.
Makes
sense.
And
so it's all about, you know, if we haven't grown up in Sacramento, we've all left and come back.
Right.
And we tend to find the community aspect here just locally.
Yeah.
Like, we know that our Sacramento peeps are going to have our back. Straight and that's up. How that message is going to get out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that because it's grassroots. Like you said, it's word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's local scene. And me and a buddy of mine were talking the other day, you know, how people expect to get things so fast out of things. You know, it's an instant gratification,
right.
You know, era that we live in. But you have to invest so much, you know, and people sometimes just think of money. And it's like, you know, well, money is it can be a commodity, you know what I mean? Like, you could use it, but ultimately it's a resource. But what we should be looking at is the energy that we invest into it, the love that we invest into it. And you got to plant the seeds, and roots grow down before they grow up. You know what I mean? So I love your approach to that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's important because somebody that I know, he's very successful in business, and he says to us, right, here's a saying. People think about money, and I'll just say two things about money.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who like the idea of money,
yeah.
But for us, sitting in the bank doesn't do any good.
Right.
Our attitude is, what can the money do?
Yep.
Which is why we have such a big focus on our nonprofit side of the business.
Absolutely.
Right? So you make money, but what can that money do? That's what's important. Just having it sitting in the bank doesn't do us any good.
Mm-mm.
But the saying is, we also coach entrepreneurs on how to get things going.
Okay.
And the saying is this, money is all around you.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it this way. You're in a boat floating in the ocean.
Okay.
The water is the money. You have to just reach out and grab it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why am I broke?
How often are you reaching out and
you're
grabbing it?
You're not reaching out. Right? You got to reach out.
Out of the boat.
There we go.
You got to get out of the boat.
Right.
You
got to
get out of that comfort zone
right.
and make something happen. And so we know that this is a long-term vision for us.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a different perspective than, hey, I'm going to put some money in, I should be seeing a bunch of return. It does take time.
Yeah.
But we know that if we focus on our vision of where we want this company to go
mm-hmm.
and how we want this company to grow to support the orphans.
Right.
Because we started in Vietnam. We're making inroads in other places like India, for example.
Oh, that's awesome.
We have friends here locally who are going to work on orphans in the United programs for the United States as well. So this is a long-term vision. So it's not like we have to make a bunch of money and get our return and get out of this business. That's not what we're going to be doing.
Right.
So, you know, what are you learning about the gaming space? You know, you guys came from endemic, you know, businesses and regular corporate, and now you're out there on the convention floor with a bunch of sweaty, greasy nerds.
Love it, man.
Like me, sitting in your chairs, farting in the chair. Yeah. What are you guys learning about the gaming space in general? Like, how is it different from, you know, traditional business?
Well, for the chair, microfiber and Mr. Clean.
Febreze.
Here's what's cool. Really, really cool about the gaming scene, right? And I'll tell you right now, we could be ourselves, man. It's all about being who you are.
Right.
Right? There is no political aspect to it.
Right.
Means if you are who you are, that's who you are.
Right.
I spent a lot of years in the corporate world, and while I was very successful there, I was not as happy as I am now. Right?
Right.
Because now I get to be who I am.
Yeah.
And that's what I see that. So when we're out there on the floor and, you know, we talked to some of the pros that came up to the state fair event.
Right.
We were like, these guys are truly starting out at a young age being who they are.
Yeah.
Which is what I wish I would have done at that age, right? I was trying to be who someone else thought I should be.
Right.
And so that's why I think it's a really, really cool industry to be in.
Authenticity.
It's really authentic. And, and that's our tagline. It's don't apologize, be yourself.
Right.
We embrace that.
Yeah.
Right. And we may say some things that are going to upset you.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's grab a beer, right?
Exactly.
So
throw the thick skin.
I'm glad you brought up the tagline because Energy, we recently did a rebrand And it was interesting. It did not go the way I think, you know, we would have it would it, we we'd hoped it had gone.
Right.
But the one thing we are happy about is the shift in our message, which is, no, you know, 100% unapologetic gamer.
Right.
So, and it's very much in the same thing. We don't have to apologize for, you know, gaming and being yourself. We don't. It's not something you have to keep, you know, hidden from everybody anymore. But I'm always the devil's advocate. So in the meetings, you know, when they're coming up with 100% all unapologetic gamer, I'm like, but there are sometimes you need to apologize. Sometimes, you know, what if it was an accident? I accidentally shoulder checked you. I'm sorry. So where are the limits for no apologies as far as Taboo Ohana goes? You have to be sorry for something.
We're sorry that your feelings are hurt.
We're sorry you didn't like what we said.
Yeah. But we're not sorry for being who we are.
Yeah. Those are the ultimate apologies that celebrities have to do when they do something, when they actually do something real.
Right.
Yeah. And then they have to come out and say, I'm sorry you were offended that said that.
We're sorry for, no, the truth is, you know, the don't apologize, be yourself is about be authentic, be who you are.
Right.
If you do some wrong, correct the wrong.
Right, right. Yeah,
let's go.
Right, because that's authentic too, right?
That's like authentic too.
Right.
That's If you know you were in the wrong, hey, say to the person, hey, look, man, I was in the wrong.
Right.
You know, can we still be friends? That's basically what it comes down to.
Exactly. Right? Hey, babe, but brother, can we still be friends?
That's right. But you are who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the quicker you get to realizing who you are and having the freedom to do that, mm-hmm. man, life becomes so much easier, right?
I agree. Fully.
Yeah.
Fully embrace that.
So, yeah. So, you're right. Yeah, there are times when if you do something wrong, make it right.
Yep.
Right? But don't apologize for the person you are.
Yeah.
If you step on somebody's foot or run over their whatever.
Right.
Yeah, you got to apologize for that.
So, there are limits.
There are
limits. I'm sorry your foot was in the way. Yes.
Sorry you didn't see me backing up.
Sorry.
So we joke like that, but it comes back to the family aspect. It's just show some respect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bring it back. Just be nice to people.
Yep.
Just be nice. But don't apologize for who you are.
Right.
So who are some of the local people that you've been working with so far? I know you've been working with Jay Gist, a good friend of our show who did State Fair.
Yeah.
And then you recently sponsored Katie Plays, who's an awesome streamer in Sacramento.
That's the homie.
And then chairs for the Fire Up Lounge.
Right.
Talk about that. How is that building all those chairs? You actually got to see the facility. How excited should we be for this place?
Very excited, Sacramento. Wake up.
Yeah.
It's time to change your gaming level up. I would say this is an experience. It's not just sitting in there adding a quarter, saying next.
No. Like we did.
That's how
it's right, like
that's
we
how I did it, man.
Yeah, with the bar stools.
Yeah.
When we put that quarter on the screen, you know I'm next.
That's right.
No, you're gonna get an experience from this is the place to play. You can go there and play and be competitive and or at least get your skills up.
Yeah,
it's a great venue. We've spent quite a bit of time there, and we were fortunate, and so we're very, very happy that we were able to team with the Fire Up team. So they're going to outfit their center with Taboo Ohana chairs.
Yes.
So those who want to check it out when they go live, check it out over there. But it's a really great venue and experience. It's not just the old internet cafe style.
Yeah.
You're going to go there and get a full-on experience.
Did I mention there's a beer?
They have bar taps.
That's right.
Nice.
That's right.
But when you get into this space, the way they've built it is that you're going to be inside of a spaceship.
Spaceship.
And so I'm Star Wars, sick. Star Trek nerdy that way. So I love that. But you're actually, when you're inside, you're not going to know the outside world is going on.
Ooh, oh, I really love that even that? More.
Yeah. So you're gonna be,
that's dangerous.
It can be.
I spent a lot of time there, man. That's how they do that shit in Vegas and Reno.
They should open
stuff.
The 24 hours.
Right.
A bunch of bright lights and some fresh air. You'll be up for 24 hours.
We're thinking oxygen in there.
We'll pump the oxygen.
Yeah,
pump that oxygen. Keep you awake.
It's a great venue, so they're going to open up. They're really pushing to move it really, really fast. They're getting close to finishing up the construction.
Okay.
But also the team, the people that work there are very, very committed to making the experience for the people who come to that venue just something they haven't seen before. And I'll tell you, locally here in the area, we don't have anything like that.
Right. Yeah.
We've been to a lot of other gaming lounges and centers, and the experience is what's going to set this place apart. And literally, when you're in there, you're not going to see the outside world because it's actually – you're going to feel like you're in a spaceship and you're seeing star fields around you when you look at the windows.
That's what I want.
And they have private rooms where you can have team play.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
They're going to have streaming rooms as well.
Smart.
So they're catering to what you might want to need. Yep. And get in there and, you know, use the facility when you want to. There's going to be opportunity to, if you just want to pay hourly, there's also a membership option there too.
I really hope it works out for them. Like, it's, I mean, gaming is a tough space. How many companies have we seen come and go? Internet cafes, restaurants. Like, if there's a way to tie it to video games, people have tried. And even like most esports organizations have been going out of business. Like, Optic was one of the biggest ones in the world. Green Wall, they had competitive teams and everything. They had an army of video editors and everything. And they ended up going belly up, getting purchased by the company that runs Immortals and just gutted.
Yeah.
And it was because, like, they had brand recognition. You know, if you would have thought, and the thing is, like, most gaming, your customer, your market is really young kids. They don't know how business works. You know, they look and see Green Wall everywhere and how popular it is, and everyone's got the shirts, and hey, they got a collaboration with Champion. Like, there's no way they could be going broke. But a lot of organizations are working at a loss. A lot of your favorite gaming restaurants and stuff are operating at a loss, because as much as we say we like it and stuff, like, there's only so much money, you know, and a lot of times, you know, you're spending a lot of money to make money, and if those aren't off balance. So the thing I like about FireUp is that they are diversifying. It's not like Esports Arena when they put it in a Walmart. You know, they're basically banking on your 10-year-old like bugging the shit out of you, and you saying, "All right, just fucking play Fortnite for 15 minutes while I go buy milk." You know?
While I go buy get my milk and my t-shirts.
Right. Just one aisle apart from each other, too. They're really close.
And they consulted with us. We were one of their first consults. They called me and a buddy of mine, Drew, and ran through their entire business plan, which is pretty different, you know, now from what it was back then. And, you know, they that's one thing that they did that was smart, is they went out and talked to people who knew the space, and we were like, I don't know if, you know, that'll scare off, you know, some people like this. And they list, not just us, they went out to other people, put their ear to the ground. And last I talked to them at the fair, top notch. I can't wait to see what they do. But it's going to have a bar. It's going to have private streaming rooms for even like tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like are wanting to stream yourself playing Dungeons and Dragons, you go there. And they're run by Tech2U.
Yeah, you're run by Tech2U. Very smart.
Yeah, legendary Sacramento business that does IT tech support. So you know that, you know, their audio and their tech is going to be really awesome. So they have so much going for them. I can't wait to see how that pans out.
I was gonna say they didn't spare any expense to make that experience as top notch as possible.
Yeah,
I was in there looking at the machines, and I said, "Can I have one of these?" Because I could see the video card that was in there,
right? And it wasn't one of the cheap.
It was not. It's the video cards more than, you know, most people's PCs that they start out with.
Yeah, and that's smart. Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's smart. And they, and like you were saying, they owners travel the country.
Yeah,
they didn't just look locally. They travel the country looking at what these different venues look like.
Right,
and they really, really are focusing on the experience you're going to have. They're also going to hold classes there for different things. Coding classes they're going to have, PC repair classes, right? So if you're a gamer and there's something going on with your machine, they want you to know how to deal with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're and it's very they're big on you working with the community. Like us, we're working with Katie Plays. And so, you know, they're going to see if they can get some of the local streamers in there and host events, things like that. So
what's crazy and what's smart about that is that there's a lot of people who go about this world and just think that the world owes them. So that, you know, oh, I'm doing this thing, it'll naturally attract people who follow or want to buy my product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 100% not true, because they're all slinging their stuff, you know?
That's right.
And the whole thing is a hustle where you're trying to, you know, make genuine friendships with people and grow and call favors. Like, we were doing our events at Oblivion Comics and Coffee. And, like, although we're, you know, highly downloaded and stuff like that, we're not celebrities in Sacramento by any means. So just saying Video Game Bang's hosting an event at Oblivion Comics and Coffee, by its nature, isn't going to fill the place. So we had to get out there and hustle and go find groups still and reach out to some friends and pitch it as, like, hey, gaming is social. We like to see each other. This is not just trivia. The fun is why you're coming. And you're going to come again to be with those friends. And that's where the best advice for a place like FireUp. You need to create as many event opportunities, classes, things like that, that get people who like the same thing all together to celebrate.
Yeah, so Todd and John, you heard all that about Fire Up, right? So we got the free beer. We when you got open. We
what a commercial this has been. Right? What a
commercial. Make sure you're listening, right? Guys. I'm going to replay this.
We should start by saying we don't own any stock in this.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we didn't do the disclaimer. We don't own it.
Yeah. Hashtag not an ad.
Yeah, not an ad. But we really do love what they're doing. And like I said, we're blessed. We're fortunate. I'll just give you. Let me bring it back to Tabu Ohana for a second.
Yeah, yeah, just for a second.
Yeah. You know, so they're going to stock our chairs.
Awesome.
So all of their stations will have our chairs. This is their first venue. They're, you know, they're going to see how this venue goes, okay, tweak it, and yeah, then open other venues.
Smart.
And for our chairs, we were in competition with two big players for landing that.
Okay.
And here's what it came down to. We were actually higher in price.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
By a significant margin.
Okay.
And they were ready to pull the trigger with one of the, it's a really big player,
okay,
in the chair space. Mm-hmm. But here's what, we showed up, we said, you know, we mm-hmm. believe that the gaming space and the professional level in esports is all about the community.
Right.
And so we're going to spend as much time as we need with you to help you feel comfortable that we're the right company.
Mm.
And then when they came back and they made their decision, they said, you guys were the only ones that actually showed up with your entire team.
Yeah.
And brought us sample chairs to sit in. And I said to them, you sit in these for as long as you need to sit in them.
Yep.
Until you need to make a decision. And so their employees like the chairs. Awesome. And so even though we were at a higher price, they liked the fact that we aligned with their vision, which is bring people together and have a good time. Because that's what we're about. Bring people together and have a good time.
Yep. That's right. You bring people together and you have a good time, and those people will want to get back together again another good time.
Exactly. Yep. And they'll bring other people and have a good time.
That's
right.
That's right. Absolutely.
So yeah, and so that's why you know, we're really happy to be working with Fire Up, and we're really excited that they chose us. I mean, we're just blessed. We're happy that they chose us.
I'm happy that you chose y'all too, because I get to see it in the Tabu Ohana when I go up there.
You were talking about, you know, kind of interacting with gamers and them being authentic in themselves. Has it rubbed off on you guys to start playing any games? Oh, or what have you guys been following?
What are you talking about? We're the original. I'm the original. The 1985.
You said it was 85, right?
The champ. Champ.
Wait, you said 1984.
The champ is here.
Just don't Google that. Stop. It's not on Wikipedia.
We haven't updated our Wikipedia.
What do you guys think of all the modern stuff, though? Have you guys tried picking up any of the new stuff? Just to see what's out there.
We tried.
You know, we were playing Smash for a little bit.
We did.
Hey. Yeah, we had a good time with that. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun.
You smashed the button.
he was mash, not smash.
I was mashing the button. I took out my shoe, had my toes on the controller.
How did you kick me off of that?
I'm like, I don't have enough fingers for these control buttons.
So, yeah. So, you know, playing is a lot of fun. But our days, man, we've been so busy.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate to be busy.
Right, absolutely.
You know, we are either out talking with people, mm-hmm. if it's one-on-one or with other groups or with other organizations who are looking to do something with us. We've spent since the state fair, we've been extremely busy. We've been talking with a lot of streamers. We're getting a lot of requests for sponsorships now.
That's good.
Which is really good. And a lot of good streamers.
Yeah.
And the way we're not about the quantity. We're about the quality.
Yep.
So we're not necessarily going to pick the person who has the most.
Right.
We're going to pick the people who fit our vision, right? Because you're going to be part of the family. And so we got to get along.
Yep.
But yeah, no, we haven't had a lot of time to play.
Yeah.
Wait, I did play. That was that fighting game.
What did you play the other day?
I don't know. So what was that? Oh, Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Man, it's so unfortunate what happened to that game.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened was that game was really on fire.
Oh yeah.
Kind of test, man. It was beating Street Fighters. Right. It was beating Smash 4.
I love
4.
The graphic.
Yep.
It was
the graphics
good.
Are great.
Then I think the company who creates Dragon Ball started getting green in their eyes when they started seeing this esports scene take over.
Mm. Yeah.
And they wanted their cut. So they started like shutting down other tournaments who weren't paying them. And it ended up going for like 6 months, killed the events. And then when the game came back, despite like some fire DLC, it just never caught on.
Back. Nah.
I was watching a tournament this morning, had like less than 4,000 people, and it was a major event.
Oh man,
such a bummer, man.
It's a bummer. You know what? You know, if they did that, it's because they stopped bringing people together to have fun.
There you go.
That's what it is. Yep. That's what it is.
Yep.
Right.
Well, that's the heart of the FGC. Like right there. One thing you'll find out, like in the gaming community, is that like there's the umbrella gamers, but then there's a lot of plots in there, and there's a lot of groups, and FGC is its own special group.
Yeah.
And that's 100% grassroots driven. It's bring our consoles together. Let's hook this up. You know, everybody put in $5 and we'll split it up. You know,
like, that's how we do it.
That was a good time.
We had a good time.
And they are the most fun. Like, I go to Counter-Strike events, Overwatch events, everything. The FGC events are the most, like, real.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you go there, you got salt of the earth, legitimate people who just like each other and dance and do weird shit.
Okay, I was there.
Me too.
If it's weird, he was there.
It was
there.
Weird, I was there. I'm not going to lie.
What's some, like, we were talking to some game developers who were at the state fair, and they were like, oh, man, kids have no filter. They'll just say that they'll rip your game to shreds and not know they're, like, breaking your heart. Did you have any, like, cool, interesting stories from State Fair of like some old dudes who don't know anything about gaming sitting in your chairs? Like,
we got this lady. Mm-hmm. She must have been at the beer garden one too many hours.
The way she came at us, it seemed that way.
Those wine slushies had the girls, like, all sloshed.
Yeah,
man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, she came at us hot and violent. Yeah. And hot.
Gosh.
She came up
and she's like, what is that?
No,
looking at our logo, right?
She said, she walks up. I was standing next to our band. She goes, what is that?
Right.
Besides being ugly.
Oh, man.
Came right at us, right?
Oh, man.
And then, so,
she said, it looks demonic.
Looks demonic. Is that a devil face? And I looked at Young.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me take this one. I saw his face. I said, let me. You know.
I got to hang out with Young before the show. You guys should know he's, like, shredded and, like, a crazy jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah, so,
nice.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Fun.
Oh, man. So he calls me the diplomat. So I handle those kinds of situations.
Yeah.
And so he's the guy on the team. If I say, hey, I need, you know, a space shuttle on Tuesday, he gets me a space shuttle on Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's what he does on the team, right?
Okay.
So I was like, hey, bro, let me handle this one.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said, okay, I could either let her have it or just educate her. So I took the opportunity to tell her what the Maori warrior was about.
Okay.
I told her it's a very sacred symbol to a group of people in New Zealand where I happen to have family.
Right.
And so then she kind of was not happy that I didn't get mad, which was weird.
Okay, so
she was
looking,
she was
looking for it, people. And you didn't give it to her, and that made her probably even more
she
upset.
She got upset that I didn't let her have it, and so I just explained, hey, this is what we're about. I explained to the orphanage, so, you know, this logo helps support kids who don't have families.
Exactly.
And so that's what we're about, and so she just, oh, well, it's a devil family. And she walks off.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so that was the only not fun experience. But I'll tell you what, we were actually pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people, you know, much older than us, who showed up and said, these are cool. I love these.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. They sat in them. They liked the style.
Yeah.
You know, we told them the story about the orphanage and what we're doing, that we're, you know, we're a local company.
Yeah.
And we got lots of support from people.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So that was really encouraging.
And it's great to make the introduction like that because, I mean, you know, so often, I mean, it happens in the gaming community. We think of our elders and we're like, oh, this or that, or they're out of touch and all that stuff. I'm like, man, y'all go talk to Jay. Jay will whoop you up in a video game. And he's changing diapers. What? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
right?
There's this negative connotation to older people, but those are the people that came before us. But what's smart about you guys approaching that group of people is, like Corey was saying, all these gamers are younger. You know what I mean? They're between, for most of them, between like 8 and 17, if you're talking about the core audience. You know what I mean? So if you go and you talk to the parents, because these kids ain't got jobs. They ain't got no money.
They're not buying chairs. Right?
But you introduce yourself to the family and let them know, hey, the kids that you love, there's kids that don't have families. Mm-hmm. And these chairs that you would buy for the kids that you love will support kids that don't have families.
Right.
So what chair are they going to get
when
they go to you know, Christmas time?
Yeah.
They're going to get the Tabu Ohana. So that's really, really wise that you guys are doing that.
We were hosting some panels there with some of our pro gamers. And it was open. You know, people could ask whatever questions they wanted. It was a lot of, you know, kids or younger people who had familiarity with the game asking questions. So, you know, they were getting into some meta questions and, you know, how do I become a pro gamer and all that kind of stuff. And then finally, I could tell, like, a lot of, you could see in the audience some of the older parents who were just, like, only there for their kid. And they're like, this is ridiculous.
All right.
And finally, one of them had the guts to put his hand up. And you know, he's shaking his head no this whole time. And he puts up his hand. And I kind of knew. So I went before they were done asking their question to brief on what his question was. and it had to do with like, you know, what did your parents think, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I let him ask it because actually I wanted to let the players answer.
Right.
And as soon as he did, a lot of the other parents shaking their, yeah, finally someone asking the real question. You know, and the players didn't give a great response because it was Garrett G from our Rocket League team. And he's like, I played an unhealthy amount. Like,
I was there when I heard that. I went,
yeah,
oh, wait.
Yeah, he's like, I wouldn't eat and stuff. He's like, actually, I wouldn't recommend kids do what I did. It was really bad.
He's going raw.
Yeah, he was going in. And it was kind of like you two, like Nairo the diplomat.
Would
go back to Nairo and he'd be like, well, you know, do your homework first.
I love Nairo.
I would do my homework and then my, you know, he, like, Nairo's the G. And then Garrett's just out there just being gangster.
He is. That's, yeah. But you know, it's interesting. We like talking to the parents and the grandparents too because, you know, in the game, oh, my kid plays games all day. And here's what we tell them. It's like, we tell them, and we like to talk to the parents, tell them this, let them.
Yeah.
You know, have limits that are reasonable,
right? Exactly.
But let them play, because one day these kids, some will become professional gamers.
Yeah.
Some are going to have to get jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
And what kind of jobs are going to be available in the future?
Game developers.
Game developer jobs. Yeah. The jobs that we were used to in the past, traditional jobs, those are going to go away.
Yeah.
40% of those are going to be gone.
Right.
Coding. Estimated in the 10 to 15 years.
You can attest for that firsthand.
Oh, of course.
Your job walked out the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we said, so let these kids be comfortable with what's going on in the gaming space.
Yeah.
Because some will be programmers.
Yeah.
Some will be hardware.
Yeah.
Some will be, you know, graphics.
Yeah.
So all the jobs that are coming up, we're going to, you know, you got automation coming, you got all this stuff that's going to be AI driven.
Yeah.
They're training right now for the careers that they're going to have in the future.
Absolutely.
And when we explain to the parents that way, they kind of go, okay, well, you know, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
As opposed to they're wasting their time doing this.
Right.
And we tell them they're not wasting their time. One of my good friends, spent his, you know, he's in the Air Force now.
Okay.
But because he spent a lot of time playing games, he flies drones. In
the
Air Force. That makes a good living.
That's
in
the way
Air
it
Force.
Works, man.
So,
that's,
you know, he's
perfect.
In Virginia and he flies drones overseas.
Yeah.
Wow. So we tell him, so gaming has a, you know, there's a practical benefit for your kids if you got younger kids, beyond the fact that, you know, it's entertaining.
Yeah, and people forget that there's things built into games. Like, I remember, like, me being younger, you know, I had to, and, you know, single parent household, my mother raising me and my brother, you know, things like problem solving.
Right.
You know, and doing my own tech support and figuring things out. Why isn't this turning on, or why is this
that's
game?
That's how I learned computers at all. Like, my dad didn't know how to do computers, and my parents, like, they were, you know, my dad was a mechanic. My mom, you know, was just a person who worked, you know.
Yeah,
she didn't know what her computer was doing.
Right.
But I got The Sims, and a buddy of mine told me I could put a, you know, like a code in to do some shit, and then I started putting in commands. And that's how I learned, you know, basic command prompts,
right?
And things like that. And then I wanted to play on high. So how do I make that happen? A buddy tells me you need a graphics card.
Yeah.
Well, what's that? Look it up. You know. So I built my own computer just because I wanted to play The Sims more.
Right.
And that's nothing I learned in school till later. By the time I took computers in high school, I was a senior.
Yeah.
And it was the easiest class of my life, thank God. But I feel bad for the other people who went that long in life without knowing, like, and still don't to this day. Can't take apart a computer. Like, it's more valuable, in my opinion, than taking apart a car.
Yeah. I can understand. Well, what's inside of every new car that you buy?
It's a computer now.
And it's driving itself more.
Yeah.
More
easily, no, right? And I learned that firsthand through my last job as a radio engineer. I have no business being a broadcast engineer.
Right, right, right.
Or tearing apart a transmitter that can kill me.
Right.
But they're computers now. Like, it's not like it was back in the old days
analog.
Where they're twisting analog things and have to replace a tube.
Mm-hmm.
These things are basically just computers, and I could swap a component. Like, I've done that. I can solder a little bit. So it's a new world order out there. Tearing apart a computer today is like, you know, my dad when he was working on his 69 Falcon.
Right.
You know? Oh, man, we're getting deep, guys.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, yeah, real
See,
deep.
This, man, we're family here. We're getting into the family discussion.
That's right, the sacred family.
I told my wife, too, the first thing I told her is, yeah, we have the Taboo Ohana guys, and she doesn't know too much about it. She goes, oh, Ohana means family because of Lilo and Stitch.
Of course. Yeah.
So before we end this bad boy and go into the after show, where I know Young has been waiting because he's ready to go. He's got some hot takes. We should let you guys know we are sponsored by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. We talked about them a little bit earlier. Amazing. They help give us we have a drink on the menu. They give us comic books to do our podcast, the Krakoa Cast.
Where is the comic? Actually, I'm gonna do our segment for Oblivion Comics and Coffee right now.
We're going back with a little Curtis's Comic Book Corner.
Curtis's Comic Book Corner. So shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee, as Corey said. They're downtown Sacramento, right next to the cathedral. Make sure you stop by. Make sure you mention Video Game Bang.
Get that sticker, son.
Get that sticker. Where's that bang. Sticker out? Bam. Right. Can you put bang. A two for him? Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. Bang, bang.
There we go. Bang, bang.
Little Cactus Jack.
That's right. So you guys, who, all of you who are loyal listeners and viewers, already know that we did our full Krakoa cast covering the House of X and Powers of 10 Marvel books right now. This is number 3. This will not be in depth. We're just going to kind of breach the top. Just at the top of it, and then we'll see. Just the tip. There's a tip for you. Stay out of dark alleys. Stay very close to this book, though. This book is incredible. I mean, just every issue seems to raise the stakes. We all know that the mutant kind within the Marvel Cinematic, Cinematic Universe, they're not even there.
They can't say the word legally.
Can't even say it.
Yeah.
Until now. And since they're going to be bringing them back to the movies within the next 5 years, they hired Jonathan Hickman to tell the story of how mutants come back with power. And this is pretty much a suicide mission, more or less, that Cyclops, Wolverine, Jean Grey, Archangel, Mystique, Nightcrawler as well have to go on. And they got some specific intel from Powers of 10, number 3, that issue. And that with that intel, they have to go and they have to approach the Orcus system and go after the Mother Mold, because the Mother Mold might create a whole race of, not Sentinels, but something even worse than Sentinels. And I liked some of the points that Corey made about how he felt like Charles Xavier and Magneto might have been a little manipulative in some of the things that they said. I view it differently. I think it was just encouragement. but ultimately, where I can tell you, this is the biggest cliffhanger that we got. There's high stakes. Everything's starting to get laid on the line here, and a line officially has been drawn in the sand. Not only did Emma Frost walk in and get back a very valuable mutant asset from the clutches of really
the United States government,
the U.S. government, but the way that she did it, and while she's doing that and everybody can see on the back end, like I said, these guys go on a mission, and where we leave off on it is somewhere that you will definitely want to pick up in the next issue.
If you even can, man, you're going to have to buy this one digital these days, or go into Oblivion and put yourself on the reserve list, because they're not getting enough to support the demand. The comic has taken off. It's pretty much, like Curtis said, the most relevant comic book out there right now.
Number 1 and number 2.
They're already on second, right? They have to do a second round.
And it's like that every one. Like, pretty much the day after, they kind of announced, like, yeah, we're going into a second printing already.
Of all these things. Yeah. So there was one issue that I couldn't even get my hands on, and I had to go get a digital version, which ended up actually being really cool. Digital comics are legit.
See, I'm so glad that you got an opportunity to read digital, because the way that you can isolate the panels and kind of only focus on that. But in this particular case, analog is still a thing. Make sure you visit Oblivion Comics and Coffee and pick yours up while you can. And I'll mention this, because it's a big book and there's a connotation with comics that you got to have this 10 years of knowledge and continuity stuff.
No. Even David was saying that last week, and we were like, no, bro.
No, you don't. This one, if you know who Wolverine is, that's probably more than enough, because this is a master storyteller telling an incredible story. So go into Oblivion Comics and Coffee, grab it, and then come join the Krakoa cast. When we do it live, we'll put some notifications out, and you guys, we can really dig deep, real deep.
All right, guys, that was our show. Thank you guys so much, Nilesh and Young, for popping over to the show. Please let everyone know where they could learn more about your beautiful product and company.
Check us on our website, TabooOhana.com, and follow us on Twitter, Facebook,
Instagram. So TabooOhana.com, check it out. We're running some free shipping right now.
Free shipping,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah.
Eating that cost up, man. That's right. Awesome.
Yeah.
And tell us just one last time where you're going to be at for the rest of the year. If people are looking to sit in one of these chairs themselves, where can they see them?
Up here in Northern California, we're going to be at Fire Up Esports.
Cool.
So they're going to be stocked there. We're also working on some opportunities in Southern California to get them represented in some stores down there as well.
All right. And you guys will be walking around E3?
No, TwitchCon.
TwitchCon will be there.
TwitchCon, handing out stickers. What are you guys doing?
That's what we're going to do. We're going to study.
Look for these guys.
We're going
to
study.
Yeah, look for us there. Yeah, we're going to be at TwitchCon. And, you know, a lot of what we do is, the reason we go to a lot of convention events is to ask people who are there, what they want, and then we figure out ways to bring that to them.
All right, man. That sounds great. And they're going to be sticking around for the after show. If you guys listen to the podcast each week via RSS on great platforms like iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Audio Boom, and tons of other ones, thank you guys. But you can watch us live and interact, ask questions while we're doing the show on twitch.tv/videogame_bang. And if you're already here just hanging out, catch up on the old episodes by going to the RSS feed and subscribing. Rate it 5 stars. We got a 5-star rating with over 100 ratings, and we're proud of that one. Kurt, you've been doing so much. Where can people catch up with you?
Oh, man. Number one thing that, well, first, catch me here. Make sure that you guys go and watch those videos that Oblivion Comics and Coffee are posting for Cocoa Cast and for our little impressions on the comic. Second, make sure you check out the Sacktown Breakdown, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter primarily. We just had Yusuf Scarbs from the Sacramento Kings Guard. We just interviewed him, so he was just on the show. We got my favorite player, my main man, Worthing Colt, coming next week. And we'll also just be covering everything that kind of happens up until the next season. Oh, and check out some videos. We played Yusuf in 2K. So a video will be coming out. How good is a professional 2K player versus the average 2K player?
I can tell you there's a reason they're professional.
Oh, yes.
There's 100% reason.
Oh, yes.
We are but mere mortals compared to some of these guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we definitely are. But I still got buckets. I just want to say I got buckets on Yusuf.
Let's go.
And he was first team all defense in the NBA 2K League this year.
Let's go. Oh, my boy. All right. Yeah. And I stream on usually Mondays and Tuesdays on my personal channel, What's Up Pizzas, when my wife is watching The Bachelorette. So if you guys want to stop by and watch me fail at Overwatch, that's fun. And then the SF Shock. I got to give these guys a shout out. I've worked harder in my life the last month than I ever have doing anything ever trying to launch the pre-sale tickets. If you guys have been following the Overwatch League, you'll know that next season they're going to home games. And what my job has been tasked is, like, how do we make an experience that's not like a traditional sports? How do we make something that no one's ever been, you know, ever seen before? And we launched our pre-sale tickets for two events. One is going to be at the legendary Cow Palace in Daly City, which is basically San Francisco. The Beatles have played there. Presidents have spoke. It's a legendary spot. There's, I think the Golden State Warriors even, like, played home games there for a while. So it's very historic. We got the second one in July in the San Jose Civic Center, where we plan on bringing a tech experience. You know how most have, like, an artist alley?
Yeah.
We're going to have, like, a startup alley. We're going to make bring in a bunch of the local startup companies just to show cutting-edge shit. Make it part CES, part Overwatch, and 100% fun. So
Dope.
We launched our pre-sale with that. It went incredibly. It's like that thing where you put something out there and you have no idea, like, will anybody buy tickets to an Overwatch match? You know, we didn't know what to expect, a couple hundred.
Yeah.
We hit way above our goals for the first weekend.
Oh.
A lot of celebration going on, and it's all because we fostered an incredible community. Shock fans are easily the best fans in Overwatch League. The positive response to everybody has been extremely gratifying. Like, it makes all that shit and crazy months of planning and prepping all worth it. So thank you guys so much. Love this local community. That's it. That's the show. No more talking. Wipe those tears away. For Curtis, Young, Nalesh, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.